So we're going to start from the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlim kol chamesh v'sorfin b'schilat sheish. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ochlim kol arba v'solin kol chamesh v'sorfin b'schilat sheish. This Mishnah is basically the machlokas regarding when the latest time for eating and benefiting from chametz is. So Rabbi Meir tells us, again, this is only d'rabbanan. Rabbi Meir tells us that one must stop eating chametz by the end of the fifth hour, and they have to start burning the chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour, whereas Rabbi Huda says you must stop eating your chametz by the end of the fourth hour. Then during the fifth hour, you kind of leave everything in suspense. You don't do anything to the chametz. And then in the sixth hour, you start to burn it. So then the Mishnah continues, Va'odama Rabbi Yehuda, Shtei chalos shel toda psulos munachos agav ha'itzteva. They took two loaves of a carbon toda that was pusel, that was disqualified. They would place these two loaves on top of like this balcony by Harabayis. Kolzman she munachos kol ha'am ochle. As long as both loaves were out, people were permitted to eat chametz. Nit la'achas tolin lo ochlen velo sorfin. When one of the loaves was removed, so then everything had to be in suspense. You can no longer eat chametz, but on the other hand, you were not yet required to burn it. Nitlu shtean hischilu kol ha'am sorfin. Once both loaves were removed, that's when everyone started to begin to burn their chametz. Rabban Gamliel omer, chulin ne'echolin kol arba, usruma kol chamesh, v'sorfin betchila shesh. Rabban Gamliel has a slightly different, has a distinction here, where he says that in contrast to chulin, to regular foods, so those you have to stop eating at the end of the fourth hour on Erev Pesach, but when you have truma, which is chametz, so then you can continue eating that for an additional hour, and then you start to burn it in the sixth hour. Again, we'll see in the Gemara why that is. Okay, so let me... So,
Rabbi,
yeah.
I don't think they had an internet on that...
How do they know the times, right? That is a very, very good question. That's going to be the bulk of today and tomorrow's daf, is trying to figure that out. So, yeah, it's a... Excellent question. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Sanhedrin. Echad Omer b'shnayim b'chodesh ve'echad Omer b'shlosha edusan kayemes sheze yodeya b'iburo shel chodesh v'ze'eno yodeya b'iburo shel chodesh echad Omer b'shlosha ve'echad Omer b'hei edusan b'teila. So this halacha relates to Hilchos Eda. So for example, you have two witnesses who come into court. They testify that, you know, let's say, I don't know, Reuven murdered Shimon, right? And the question, of course, is now you have to start asking them questions. When did the murder happen? At what time of the day? So the Gemara says that if there was a discrepancy between the two witnesses, let's say one of them said the murder took place on the second of the month, and one of them said it was on the third of the month. So the Gemara says that you can still believe them. Why can you believe them? Because the assumption is that one of them realized that it was a two-day Rosh Chodesh, and one of them didn't, but they're still referring to the same day. However, if one witness says the murder happened on the third, and one says on the fifth, then they're clearly lying, and you have to throw the case out. That's what the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. Then the Gemara continues further. The Gemara says, Echad Omer b'shtei shos, ve'echad Omer b'shalosh shos, edusan kayames, Echad Omer b'shalosh, ve'echad Omer b'chamish, edusan b'teila divri Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda Omer, edusan kayames. Then we have a further machlokas. What if there's a discrepancy regarding the hour of the day in which the murder took place? So the Gemara says that if the discrepancy is merely off by an hour, one witness says it was the second hour of the day, and the other one says the third hour, then again, you can believe them. But if the discrepancy is off by 2 hours, so that's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Meir, then you have to nullify the Eidus. The Eidus is no good. Whereas according to Rabbi Huda, and again, we'll see why this is in a second, he says, no, even that Eidus is also considered valid. Then the Gemara continues, Echad Omer b'chamesh ve'echad Omer b'sheva edusan b'teila shebechamesh chama b'mizrach uv'sheva chama b'mara. Then the Gemara says, even Rabbi Huda, who said that if there's a 2 hour discrepancy, you can still believe the witnesses. That's assuming that the discrepancy is not between the fifth and the seventh hour. What's the difference if it's the fifth and the seventh hour? Because the positioning of the sun from the fifth to the seventh hour is so radically different. Because in the fifth hour, the sun is still in the east. By the seventh hour, it's already afternoon, so the sun is already in the west. So there's no way that these two witnesses could have possibly been referring to the same time, but just got confused because the sun is in a different position. Okay, then the Gemara explains. Amar Abaye, kishetim tzol. So the Gemara says that this machlokas that we just cited between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda really boils down to the following issue, which is that Rabbi Meir assumes that people do not make mistakes. In other words, if the two witnesses are saying, let's say the murder happened in the third hour, and the other guy says it happened in the fifth hour, they're clearly lying. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir, those types of discrepancies don't happen if you're telling the truth. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that people do make slight discrepancies. People might be off by half an hour. They may not be giving you the exact time because they may have been confused. So the Gemara explains, L'divri Rabbi Meir, ein adam toa v'lo klum, ma'ise ki hava b'meipak tarte u'ma'ayot tlas, v'hadika amar shtayim b'sof shtayim, v'hadika amar shalosh b'schila shalosh, L'divri Rabbi Yehuda adam toa chatzisha, ma'ise ki hava b'falga da'ar b'hava, v'hadika amar shalosh b'sof shalosh, v'kataya palga d'shaita l'kamei, v'hadika amar chamish b'schilas chamish, v'kataya palga d'shaita l'yachorei. So the Gemara says like this, that according to Rabbi Meir, where there is no discrepancy, where if you're telling the truth, everything has to be precise, so that when the Gemara says that one witness said the murder happened in the second hour and the other guy said the third hour, what they were really saying was is that the first guy said it happened at the end of the second hour, the other guy said it happened at the beginning of the third hour, which is basically the same time. So in other words, the only time that Rabbi Meir would ever, you know, justify this type of a testimony is if they're literally talking about the exact same time. They may have phrased it differently. One may have said the end of the second hour, one may have said the beginning of the third hour, but that is clearly referring to the same exact time. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda says that in other words, that we do give a little bit of leeway for a margin of error, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person can be off by up to half an hour, and therefore, when, let's say, one witness says the murder happened in the third hour, and one guy says the fourth hour, so one guy could have been referring to the middle of the third hour, the other guy could have been referring to, let's say, the beginning of the fourth hour, or vice versa, so as long as their discrepancy is within half an hour, so then Rabbi Yehuda says, that is still considered to be an acceptable form of testimony. That's one version of the Machlokas. And the Gemara presents another version. Iko da Amrei, Amar Abaye, Kishatim Tzolomar, L'divri Rabbi Meir, Adam Toa Mashehu, L'divri Rabbi Huda, Adam Toa Sha'a Umashehu, L'divri Rabbi Meir, Adam Toa Mashehu, Ma'isaki Hava, Obis Ov Shtayim Hava, Obis Chila Shalosh, V'chad Minayu Toa Mashehu, L'divri Rabbi Huda, Adam Toa Sha'a Umashehu, Ma'isaki Hava, Obis Ov Shalosh, Obis Chila Shamesh, V'chad Minayu, So according to the second version of the Gemara, there's even more leeway within the shitos of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. In the second version, so Rabbi Meir says that no, people do. In other words, people can be off by a little bit. Now again, when he says a little bit, he means a mashu. A mashu just means a very slight amount. Whereas in the first version, Rabbi Meir says that there cannot be any discrepancy whatsoever. And in the second version, Rabbi Yehuda says that a person can be off by up to an hour plus a mashu, plus a little bit. Whereas in the first version, Rabbi Yehuda assumed that you can only be off by half an hour. So the second version is essentially allowing a little bit more leeway within the shitos of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And again, you have to kind of, you know, iron out the details of the case in order to figure out what, you know, which times were they referring to when they witnessed the murder or when they witnessed the incident. Okay, so the Gemara now explains, Ozo Ravuna Berei de Rabbi Yehuda, Amr L'Shmaitza Kamei de Rava, Amar, Uma Ilu Daikinon Bahani Sahadei, Dehai Deka Amar Shalosh Beschila Shalosh, Vahai Deka Amar Chamesh Besov Chamesh, Vahavya Eidos Mukheshes Velo Katlinan, Vaana Nekum Venikto Misfeka, Varachamana Omar Vishavtu Haida Vihitzilu Haida. The Gemara has a very basic problem with this entire presentation that we just offered, because again, the Gemara was saying, again, you know, whichever version of the Gemara you're following, we're essentially allowing for a certain amount of leeway, for a certain amount of margin of error within the two witnesses, right? Again, as long as it's not a crazy margin of error, we said that we can still accept them. The problem is, the Gemara asks, is that we know, and again, we're going to talk a lot more about this tomorrow, we know that whenever witnesses come into court for anything, whether it's murder, whether it's, to testify that it's the new month, we have to question them. We have to ask what are called chakiros and bedikos. We have to ask them a whole slew of questions. Now, here's the issue. The issue is that if I question the two witnesses individually, and let's say one of them said the murder happened at 2 o'clock, and one said 2:30. So normally, again, based on everything that we've said, you would argue, okay, that's considered a normal margin of error. But let's say based on our own investigation, it's clear that they're lying. Now, again, the discrepancy may be very, very minute, where normally you would say, okay, let's just ignore the fact that they're off by half an hour, and let's just kill the guy anyway. The problem is that if in the course of our investigation, it turns out that this very slight discrepancy is actually a lie, so then the problem is that you're going to end up killing someone based on a false testimony, and that's a huge problem. And not only that, the Gemara cites a pasuk from Parshas Maaseh, which says that the role of Beis Din is to do whatever they can to save a person who is on trial. That's what the Gemara refers to, that's what the pasuk refers to as vihitzilu ha'eda. Our job as Beis Din is to try and spare the life of the person who is on trial whenever possible. Now again, it's not always possible, but if at all possible, you have to try and do that. So the question is, how can we just ignore the fact that there's a discrepancy and say, oh yeah, let's just kill the guy because the margin of error is small enough? Well, if the witnesses turn out to be lying, you're going to end up killing someone who doesn't, who let's say does not warrant the death penalty, which is a huge problem. So the Gemara says, yeah.
We're talking about a modern era here only relating to time, because they didn't have a watch in those days.
Good. So again,
I mean, if you're telling me that one guy said he wore a blue coat, the other guy said he wore a white coat. That's
okay.
A whole different
thing. Okay, so that issue we're going to discuss more tomorrow, which is the distinction between what are called chakiros and bedikos. These are different types of questions that we ask the witnesses, which again we'll talk about tomorrow, which types of questions are critical, which maybe are not as important. But again, the point is that this whole Gemara has been assuming until now that we allow some measure of leeway for, you know, some margin of error when it comes to, you know, the hour of the day. And again, you're right. Again, back then, they didn't have watches. They didn't know precisely when anything was. But again, as we already pointed out, in certain cases, it's obvious. Like, as we mentioned before, like with the fifth versus the seventh hour, the sun is in different parts of the sky. So those things you can't confuse whether you have a watch or not. Like, those things you can never confuse if the sun is in a different part of the sky. So again, the point here is, again, the Gemara's basic question is, why are we even allowing any sort of margin of error? Couldn't that lead to a terrible, you know, situation where you end up killing someone who does not really deserve the death penalty? That's the Gemara's basic question. So what's the answer? The Gemara says, Elo Amara. L'divrei Rabbi Meir Adam Toash Shtei Shos Chaser Mashehu. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda Adam Toash Shalosh Shos Chaser Mashehu. L'divrei Rabbi Meir Adam Toash Shtei Shos Chaser Mashehu. Ma'isek Yav O Beschilas Shtayim O Besov Shalosh V'Chad Minayu Katoy Beis Shos Chaser Mashehu. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda Adam Toash Shalosh Shos Chaser Mashehu. Ma'isek Yav O Beschilas Shalosh O Besov Chamesh V'Chad Minayu Katoy Shalosh Shos Chaser Mashehu. So in this final answer of the Gemara, this is like the ultimate revised answer of the Gemara, where now the Gemara is giving us the most amount of leeway that we've had in any version of the Gemara. In this version, in this answer of Rava, Rabbi Meir allows you just under 2 hours, what the Gemara calls Shtei Shos Chaser Mashu, which is 2 hours minus a little bit. So just under 2 hours of leeway according to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda allows you just under 3 hours of leeway. So again, the Gemara says, therefore, if you formulate the case as one where the discrepancy is, let's say, you know, just under two or just under 3 hours, depending on which sheet that you're following. So in that case, you can argue that that is considered to be a significant enough discrepancy. So in other words, the Gemara is basically saying, you're right, that if the discrepancy is so minute, it's just, let's say, you don't know, it's 15 minutes. So in that case, yeah, you do have to accept what the witnesses are saying. But if the discrepancy is so significant, where it's more than just under 2 or just under 3 hours, so then you have to throw them out of court. You have to throw their testimony out of court. Now, again, hopefully tomorrow, we'll talk more about, you know, if you have a scenario where, let's say, the margin of error is so great, where let's say the Edom are off by, I don't know, by 5-6 hours, so then obviously we're going to reject that testimony as well. But at least at this stage in the Gemara thinks that the basic discrepancy here has to be either just under 2 or just under 3 hours in order to qualify as a valid form of testimony. Okay.